Come on, we are so blessed to have you here. Thank you so much for being a part of this church, this community, and plugging in. And I believe that even in our sense of worship this morning, man, going into the very truth of God's word to see what God is going to do. I've got about 22 minutes, man. We've already had a great sense of what God can do in restoring. And we've been in this little mini series, just kind of freelancing messages from my heart, things that I just see in scripture that I've had my teeth in for a long time that I couldn't wait to preach. And I put a different series kind of on hold because I wanted to just burst at the seams, so to speak, and just kind of let loose in the word of God and just be able to preach. And I just see so many times how God, through Christ, through the eyes of Jesus, sees us. How he sees us through a lens of his son on a cross, that we have been forgiven and we have been healed. And now today we come to a place to say, through the eyes of love, we have been restored. We have been restored. We have been reestablished. We have been made new. It's a powerful sense when you really understand that in Christ all things become new. The old is gone, new has come. Man, that's a powerful statement for all of us. We all have swam in the same pond of sin, folks. Every single one of us have come to a place to be broken and separate from God. But Jesus Christ on a cross, that brought reconciliation. That took us from an enemy to a friend. That restored that once relationship that God the Father had with Adam and Eve that he wanted with us. And then Adam and Eve blew it. And then here we stand. Because of Jesus, we have been restored. We have been taken back to a place of restoration in him. Can I just say this, please, man? If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, if you've really not come to a place to realize, man, there is sin in the world, and in that there is sin in me, and sin has separated me from a holy, perfect, pure God, but he loved me with such a love that he would send his own son to die on a cross for me, that if I would just come to a place to understand that and believe that and to trust in that and repent from sin and recognize sin separated me from God, but Jesus took care of that on the cross and he restored me. He brought me back to a place of fellowship and relationship with God the Father through his blood. And man, I need that. If you come to a place and you're here, you find yourself here this morning and you don't know Jesus, rule number one is this. The very first thing that needs to happen is to recognize that you can be restored. You can come back to that place of restoration to God, reconciliation to him based on the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and I on the cross, that you would just come to a place to repent from sin. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that we would confess that he is Lord. We call on his name, one name, Jesus, and confess that he is Lord. And we come to a place to believe that and surrender and concede that he is Lord and he is my King. And I just come to a place to bow a knee and surrender myself to him because he is Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my Master, my King. So that's the most important restoration that will ever take place. And you see the television programs, man, you see these old houses. Please hear this, man. You see these old houses that people would look at and say, that looks like a barn that's just falling over, until it's seen through somebody else's eyes and say, you don't see what I see. I see we can take this off, and I can see we can restore that, and I can see we can rebuild that, and I can see that we can make it even more beautiful than it ever was. Man, I just think sometimes, whether it's through the words of others or whether it's through somebody else saying you have no value, you have no worth, whether it's us making our own decisions that we come to a place to say, I'm separate from God, I have no value, I have no worth, and we just see ourselves in a mirror looking through our own eyes saying, man, you have no value and you have no worth, until we understand what it is to be seen through the eyes of Jesus, who says, that's not what I see. I see your worth, I see your value, and I see who you can be in me. Something new. Something redone. Something born again. Something that I made fearfully and wonderfully. Something that I handcrafted and put you together. When you understand, when you are seen through the eyes of Jesus, you have great value and you have great worth, and you understand what it is to be restored. I think so many times we come to a place to really not understand our value through the eyes of love. And if you could turn with me to two places, please. Luke 22 and John 21. Luke 22 and John 21. Father, there's just a presence in this place this morning. We just come before you. God, that you would do a work in us this morning, please. God, by your Holy Spirit, you would just do a work in us. God, that you would move in this place right here, right now. God, that you'd move in this place and that you would do a work in us today. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence here. God, I thank you for your work and I thank you for your love. God, I ask that we would come to place to ask you. Folks, please ask God. God, speak to me. God, do a work in me right here, right now. In your presence, God, do a work in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Luke 22. I want to talk to you about one who understood who Jesus was. Sometimes we understand as Christians what it was in the very beginning to be restored. Yes, sin broke me from God. I understand he is holy and sin. And then Jesus came down on the cross and restored that relationship and how amazing we are. Yes, I understand that restoration. I get that, man. We're pumped about it. We're blessed about it. We honor him. We worship him for it. But what about us who are in this place who do love Jesus, who are born again, and we understand what it is to repent. We understand what it is to be followers of Christ. And yet maybe you've made a decision that have broke that fellowship. Maybe you've made a decision that you feel now, man, I am not worthy to be a follower of Christ. Maybe the enemy has just come in his spiritual darkness and just whispered in your ear, you are no longer worthy, man. You blew that. You broke that. That decision you made was a crushing blow to you and God. We're going to see an amazing true story of one named Peter this morning, who was a follower of Jesus, who understood Christ as the Son of God, who understood Christ as the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. He understood that. He declared that. When Jesus came to his disciples and said, who does man say that I am? Man, one would say, well, you're Elijah. This is what the crew would say. You're Elijah. But God said, come on, I'm not Elijah. Or no, they say that you're John the Baptist. I could imagine Jesus going, how can I be John? Me and John, we walked the earth together at the same time, man. He's my cousin. Like, how do people think of John the Baptist? That's crazy. But you're Jeremiah. Come on, no. Who do they say that I am? And I love this disciple. One of them says, well, you're one of the prophets. That's kind of broad. Then he goes face to face with him and say, okay, great, but who do you say that I am? And we see Peter pipe up in this moment. He says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. I know who you are. I see who you are. And in John 6, we see this amazing picture where Jesus just really spills some truth and people don't like what he said. At the end of John 6, verse 69, we see this whole wave of people who are followers of Jesus begin to fade away. See, you know what? Not what I signed up for. Really not into that. You're not who I thought you were. And he comes to his disciples again. He says, are you going anywhere? I love this picture. You got Peter who says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Again, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the Holy One. I know who you are. And even above that, you've got Peter, who was one of the top three. You've got Peter, who walked in an intimate sense with Jesus like the others couldn't. But you had Peter, James, and John, who had this biblical special relationship with Jesus. When you see that Jesus had some big things going on, he took Peter, James, and John. He took them to the mountain for transfiguration. What an amazing scene that is. He took them, as we read last week, into the room of Jairus, the daughter who he's raising from the dead. Peter, James, and John privileged to see that. And then the most trying time in Jesus, time on earth, he's in the garden crying out to the Father, if we could pass this, if your cup could pass from me, sweating like drops of blood, in absolute agony. Angels have to come to minister to Jesus because he's in such disarray. Who does he have with him? Peter, James, and John. Peter, I need you right here. Peter, I need you right here. Peter, I need you right here. So you talk about one who understood Jesus, walked with Jesus, gave up a fishing business for Jesus, immediately gave up everything in the very beginning when Jesus came to Peter and said, listen, follow me. Peter dropped the net, and immediately, the Bible says, immediately he went with Jesus, gave up all of it because he saw something in Jesus, and for 3 years walked tight, walked tight, walked tight, saw what he saw in Christ, knew that he was the Messiah, that Christ, the Son of the living God, came to a place even at the very end to draw his sword, to get Jesus behind him, to protect Jesus, to try to take the heads of those who were coming to arrest Jesus. Was he close to Jesus? Of course. Do you understand what it was to really give his life and to surrender his life to Jesus? Yes. But was there a moment, man, was there a moment when he made a decision that broke all of that? As a follower of Christ. Church, there's so many times that we can, in a moment, feel like we have so failed. Yes, we love Jesus. Yes, I know that I'm saved. Yes, I know that I've repented, but I made a decision, man. I made a choice. And I feel so alone, and I feel so broken, and I feel so separate from God. And the enemy will just come in and with just a sense of spiritual darkness, just begin to whisper, you are worthless. You are no longer worthy to be a follower of Jesus. You blew it. We pick it up here. You've got Peter. Here you've got, this is the end of the day for Jesus. I mean, he's coming down to his final hours. And he has this amazing meeting this time. And he looks at Simon, who was Peter. Luke 22, verse 31. Could you imagine this conversation? This is after Peter has followed. This is after Peter has given up the business. This is after Peter has seen so many different things. This is after Peter, one of the top three, Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Peter, I need you right here. I need you right here. Peter, you're next to me. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. All of this. He walked with Jesus, knew Jesus, loved Jesus, followed Jesus, served Jesus, willing to give his life for Jesus. And here we come to this place right here. Jesus coming to the end. And he says this in verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked permission to sift you as wheat. Like, what an open. Like, hey, I've had a conversation with Satan. And he's demanded permission to test you, Peter. He's asked permission to sift you as wheat. He's going to shake you. He's going to mess you up. And whatever falls and whatever is left behind, he's going to see if you're the real deal, Peter. I'm just wondering, if, in my mind, I'd have said, okay, if he asked you permission, did you say yes? You know, you are God. You could say no. Peter, Satan has asked permission to see if you're the real deal. And I love this. He says, but I have prayed for you. Could you imagine right there a switch? To know his power, to know his authority over demonic activity, to know his even authority over Satan himself, to understand that Satan's asked you permission to see if I'm the real deal and you've prayed for me. Powerful. The Bible declares for you and I today that Jesus is our intercessor, and the enemy does accuse, and you see Jesus between the enemy and the throne. Interceding for us today, still incredible. He says this, but I have prayed for you. What did you possibly could pray for? Jesus, you're praying for me. What could you possibly pray for me? That your faith may not fail. And the word fail here, it means to cease or to end. You're going to get shaken, Peter. It's going to be difficult, Peter. He's going to shake you. He's going to rally you. He's going to test you to see what you're made of. But I have prayed for you. Well, what did you possibly pray for me? That your faith may not cease, that it wouldn't end. And he says this, Jesus says this, when you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. When you've turned again, that means you are going to turn in a direction that's not for me. You are going to turn in a direction that's away from me. But when you turn again, when you turn again, when you come back to me, Peter, there's a purpose that you would strengthen your brothers. And here we go. We've got Peter. He's pumped at this point. Verse 33, and he says this to Jesus, Lord, I'm with you, ready to go to both to prison and to death. I'm with you to the end. You go, I go. You go to prison, I go to prison. You go to death, I go to death. I'm willing to die for you. We see this amazing scene right after this. Jesus comes to a place. He goes to the garden. He cries out to the Father. In the midst of all this, the army's coming to arrest Jesus. Listen, Peter just made these statements a few hours ago. I'm willing to die with you. I'm willing to go to prison for you. I'll give my life for you. You are the Christ, the Son. I know who you are. I'm all in. I've given up my business. I surrendered to you. I've denied myself. I'm in. Man, as Jesus is getting arrested, he takes out his sword, puts the master behind him like he's going to protect him against the whole army, and he just starts swinging his sword. Did he mean that? Of course. Did he mean, I'm ready to die for you? Yes, he did. He meant that with everything in him, and he proved it. Tucks out a dagger and just starts swinging, trying to protect Jesus against an army. And then Jesus gets arrested. He's taken to the courtyard, and he just begins to get tuned up. They hate Jesus. There is a hatred for Jesus. And then he just begins to just get beat, spit on, mocked, punched, and just ridiculed, shamed, because they hate him. And Peter finds his way into the courtyard. He's watching all this. He's in a room not much bigger than this. Jesus knows that Peter's present there. Obviously, Peter knows that Jesus is present there. And here we go. Because Jesus had already told him, listen, before the rooster crows two times, you're going to deny me three times. This is huge. Before the rooster crows twice, Peter, you'll have denied me three times. Peter's like, there's no way. I will never deny you. I will, just hours before this, I will never deny you. I'll die with you. So here we go. Luke 22, please. Verse 55. And after they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and it sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. Here he's in the same area of Jesus. They're at this, right this moment, man. They are tuning Jesus up. They're striking him. They're punching him. They're just spitting on him. They're mocking him. And they're just absolutely hate Jesus. And Peter's watching this thing unfold. So honestly, where do you get from a point to say, listen, I'm willing to die with you. I'm willing to give my life for you, to come to this place in verse 56. And a servant girl, seeing him, sat in the firelight, looking intently at him. Like this girl's staring at Peter. You ever get that feeling that somebody's staring at you? Like it's freaky, right? It's like, oh, why are you staring at me? Stop staring at me. Well, the servant girl is just staring at Peter. And she says, this man was with him too. This man, he was with Jesus. He was with him. And he says this, but he denied it. Woman, I do not know him. Woman, I don't know what you're talking about. How do you get from a point of just hours before drawing your sword, ready to give your life for the one that you're protecting as master and Lord? Hours, just hours. I don't know him. I'm not with him. I don't know what you're talking about. It's amazing that his three denials are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God, by the Holy Spirit, felt it's so important for us to see it in all four Gospels. And then when you see it in Matthew, Mark, it goes so deep. Because in this first denial, when she's saying, he was with him. I know that he was with him. And he's like, I don't know him. The Bible says in Matthew, Mark, that he began to curse and to swear. And this is not a profanity thing, like he started using bad language. The word curse, this is so much deeper in this denial than we really think it is. When you understand he began to curse, he would begin to say, I am making an oath. I am swearing to you. I make an oath to you that if I'm lying to you, may the living God put a curse on me. That's deep. Just hours before, he's ready to give his life for Jesus. And now he's at a point because a servant girl recognizes him and said, you were with him. I don't know him. If I'm lying to you, may God curse me and may I die. Another servant comes. Second denial, verse 28, verse 58. Then later, another saw him and said, you are one of them too. But Peter said, man, I am not. And then about an hour had passed and another man began to insist began to say again and again and again, certainly this man was with him. For you are with him. You walk like him. You talk like him. You're a Galilean. He would say, I know that you, were you with him? And the Bible says he just began to insist. He began to persist and go and go and go. And then the Bible says that there was even another servant of the high priest who looked, this is crazy, that in this third denial, if you read it even in the book of John, you're looking at this going, this servant girl says, wait a minute. No, I recognize you. You were definitely with him because you were the one who cut off my cousin's ear. Like you talk about a relative. He's like, he was my relative. You took his ear. You think I'm going to forget? You man, you grabbed out your sword and you sliced it. I saw that. I know it's you. Of course it's you. You're the one who tried to kill my cousin. The Bible says this. It's amazing to me that even Jesus says in Mark that, listen, the rooster's going to crow twice. It's amazing that Peter didn't pick it up on the first time. It's amazing to me that Peter didn't hear the rooster crow the first time, because after the second time, listen to this, verse 61, or verse 60, then Peter said, man, I do not know who you are talking about or what you're talking about. Immediately while he was still speaking, this is the second time the rooster crowed. Look at verse 61, and the Lord turned and he looked at Peter. Understand that Jesus heard everything that he said. I don't know him. I was never with him. I'm not a part of him. Jesus is in the same, he's hearing this. He's hearing the betrayal. He's hearing the denial, the insistent denial. I don't know what you're talking about. And as that rooster crows the second time, the Bible says that Jesus turned. You think about that eye contact. There's nothing in me that believes for a moment that it was eyes of condemnation. Eyes of, I told you so. You should have been better prepared. I told you this was going to happen. No, man, I think as we see the character of Christ, love, compassionate, graceful, I believe that as he was looking at Peter, Peter is looking back. And I can imagine that Jesus looking at Peter was like, listen, I have prayed for you. Peter, you're going to turn back again. And I got a purpose for you to strengthen your brothers, Peter. The Bible says that Peter took off. And he wept bitterly. He was just an absolute mess. Could you imagine that playing over and over and over? Jesus heard me scream, I don't know him. He heard me say that I wasn't ever with him. And man, he stared, looked right at me. But there was something about his look. And Peter runs off. Broken. A lover of Jesus, messed up, separate, alone. I could imagine the whispers coming. You blew it. You failed the test. I see what you're really made of. I have sifted you as wheat in your burnable chaff. You've got nothing, Peter. You failed. That's the whispers of darkness, folks. Peter, you failed. You lost. He wants nothing to do with you, Peter. Man, Peter's just a mess. Well, John 21, we're not even going to go there. John 21, amazing story of where Peter gets restored. And I'm talking to the church, man. I'm talking to you. Those who've made a mistake, it was his choice. Those who've made a mistake that you just felt distanced and you feel like I'm no longer worthy to be a follower of Jesus. I've blown it so terribly. Could you imagine Peter's coming to a point to say, I'm done. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I know. I'm done. John 21, we have this amazing, incredible picture where Jesus comes and he finds his disciples out in the boat. Peter Peter realizes it's Jesus, and he dives in the water and he just begins to swim towards shore. Jesus already has fish and the fire. They have breakfast, and the disciples come in, they have breakfast, and then Jesus and Peter go for a walk. He says, Peter, do you love me? You know that I love you. Walks a little more. Peter, do you love me? You know that I love you. And he says the third time, the Bible says that Peter was grieved, man. His heart is breaking. Peter, do you love me? He says this. He says, Lord, you know all things. Listen, remember last week when Jesus asks a question, he already knows the answer. It's not for his understanding. It's to make a point to us. And Peter nails it. He says, you know all things. You know. You know everything. The one thing, you know that I love you. I can imagine Jesus going, Peter, I'm here to remind you that you do love me. How many times, folks, do we need to be reminded in a sense of brokenness, in a sense where the enemy can come in and just whisper, you are no longer worthy. You are no longer even a follower of Jesus. You have sinned and you've broken. And he just speaks. For Jesus pursues Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Come on, Lord, you know all things. My heart's breaking here. You know that I love you. Peter, I'm just reminding you that you do love me. And I want you to know that you love me. He says the same thing that he said in the very beginning. When he called them off of the nets, when he called them off the boat in the very beginning, Jesus gave him two words, you follow me. You know what he told him at the end when there's this amazing picture of restoration taking place? You know what he says to Peter? Peter, you follow me. How do you know when you come back to a place of restoration, folks? When you honestly can say, I know that I love you. And you come to a place to say, I'm laying it all down to follow you again. Can we just bow your heads, please, just for a moment? I'm talking about one who loved Jesus. One who was very intimate and close with Jesus in relationship, in friendship, in master-servant relationship. One of Christ's closest. But made a decision that broke him. And then Jesus pursued Peter. Peter, I'm here to remind you that you do love me. And I still have a purpose for you. And I still have a plan for you. Follow me. Follow me. And you in this place this morning, and you come to a place and say, listen, I've made decisions, and yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I know that I'm a Christian. Yes, I know that I've repented from my sin. I know that Jesus' blood died, was shed on the cross for me. I know that. I know that I'm saved, but I've made these decisions that I have just felt so alone. And I have felt so distant, and I've heard the whispers. You're no longer worthy. But this morning, see yourself through a different set of eyes. See yourself through the eyes of love. When Jesus would come to you and say, I'm here to remind you this morning that you do love me. And I do have a plan for you. And I have a purpose for you. But you need to follow me. You need to follow me. I want to pray for you. This morning, if you're in this place and you're like, man, no one's looking around, but if you're in this place and you're like, that's my story, man, that's me. I am the Peter in this story, man. I have made decisions that I have felt so alone. I have felt in my heart that I've just been walking solo and that God is angry with me and that I've come to this place to not be worthy enough for Him. That's not God speaking, folks. That's darkness speaking. I'm asking, I would love to pray with you this morning. But you have to acknowledge it, man. You got to come to a place and say, that's me. That's me in this story. and to know this morning that Jesus is pursuing me, that yes, I am reminded that I do love him. And he's calling you to follow him as the church, as a Christian. Would you please let me pray for you this morning? On the count of three, I just want you to lift your hands to acknowledge, God, that's me. One, two, three. Put them up high. Put them up high. Keep them up high. God, please. God, that we would see that your love, God, that we'd understand that it's so different picture when we see through the eyes of love this morning, right here, right now, God, in this moment, God. Just like that moment on the beach with Peter. Peter got it. Yes, I love you. Yes, I know that I love you. And Peter, follow me. Oh, God, please, in this place this morning, that you would remind us to follow you, to remind us to see ourselves through eyes of love, that in this place, restoration, becoming new, reestablished, God, to come back to that place, to be new again, all things become new. God, that you would begin to restore the soul and you would begin to reestablish the soul. And God, we come to a place to be at peace again in our spirit with you, to know, yes, I love you. Yeah, I'm not going to listen to the enemy anymore. I'm not going to listen to these voices. God, I am worthy because you've said I'm worthy. Jesus, you died for me. How do I know that I'm worthy? Because Jesus gave his life for you in a great love. Even in the sense of when we miss, when we sin, we come to a place and say, yes, I still love you. I believe this morning through the word of God, the Spirit of God is saying, then follow me. See yourself through the eyes of love today, please. God, that you would just begin a restoration process. Father, please. God, please. God, restore those who are so broken. To follow you again. To follow you again. Hallelujah. And I just want to settle in this. Olivia's going to sing and she's going to sing a song that is so perfect and fitting for where we're at right here in this moment. Right here in this moment. I just want you to spend some time in the presence of God through this song. To come to a place and say, God, I am being restored. I'm being restored. And I will follow you. Just stay seated. And let's just soak this in, please. powerful question. How can it be that you have such a love for me? Even in all of my failure, even all my sin, even all my... How do you still love me? Man, that is why we worship. That is why we praise. That is why He is who we are not. And He is God and He is good. And Christ has such a desperate love for His creation in us. When you see a picture of Jesus on a cross, then ask yourself, how can it be? And then we just stand in awe. His amazing love for us. Powerful. Powerful.